When Grace introduced me this morning and some of the other pastors' wives who have invited me to be here with all of you really don't know that much about me. And I want to tell you, first of all, that I've been married to my husband, Jim, for 58 years, 9 months, and 9 days. By the grace of God. And it can always change when I go home, believe me. But God has been so gracious to me. And, you know, we were so young when we got married. I was 16 years old and he was 21 years old. And we didn't start out on a good foundation, the reasons for getting married. But God has taken care of that and blessed us. And we could not adore each other any more than we do. But, you know, when you first get married, and let me make this clear, I don't recommend getting married that early to anyone in this room, by the way. It was a very difficult time for us, too, in those early years. But when we got married, I really did not know this much about my husband's background or about his family, and I quickly began to learn. And I found out that he had 3 aunts whose names were Flora, Nora, and Cora. But the interesting thing about it is that June is actually my middle name, and my first name is Dora. So we have a Flora, a Nora, a Cora, and a Dora. His mother's name was Dovey D. Derrick, her maiden name. And so she had a daughter, my husband's sister, who was also named after her mother, and she was named Dovey Jean. And when Dovey Jean married, she married a man whose last name was Bird. So she became Dovey Bird. Now, my husband said that when we had children, that if we had a son, he would be named after my husband. So he's also named James Lee. And we had 2 children, a son and a daughter. So our son is named James Lee Hester Lee as well. And he grew up being called Jamie. And as he got older into his teenage years, he wanted to be called James. So that's what he is known today as, James. But he married a girl whose name was Lisa Lee Legan. And they both have this middle name of Lee. So they decided that when they had children, our grandkids would all have the middle name of Lee. So the first one is Colin Lee, and then there's Aaron Lee. And there's Amanda Lee. And lo and behold, when my grandson grew up, Colin Lee, he married a girl whose name is Jamie Lee. When my granddaughter grew up, she married a man whose last name was Grayson. But his first name was Jason, so he was Jason Grayson. Now, people have asked me before, did you make that up or is that real? I don't think anybody could come up with such a story as that. It's all true, and nobody planned it that way. It's just the way things are. All things in our family. And isn't it wonderful to think about all these scriptures that are being plastered all over the walls here? I hope that you've taken a minute just to look at the all things and how many scriptures there are that includes that little phrase, all things. And isn't it interesting that it can encompass with 2 little words so many things? It includes not only the simplest things of life and in the scripture, but most extraordinary and complicated things as well. Did you know that there's over 70 verses from the Old Testament to the New Testament that have this phrase with those 2 little words? And I expect by the end of the day that you have covered every single one of them and memorized them as well by lunchtime. Now, some are very familiar to us. How many of you know Romans 8:28? You should all have your hands, because that's one of the first ones that we learn usually as a Christian. And let's repeat it out together. Those of you who know it, those of you who don't know it, you will learn it by the end of the day. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, that is a promise with a condition. And I have heard even non-Christians quoting this and throwing out, saying, all things work together for good. But when you take that phrase in its context, it says, all things work together for good to what? To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If you know him, if you have received him as your Savior, then you've been already called according to his purpose. That's his purpose, that you know him, that you love him, that you serve him and walk with him. Now, that's a tough scripture. And sometimes as Christians, we use it as a little Christian cliche. We just kind of throw it out when somebody has a problem. Oh, we know all things work together for good to those who love God. How many of you have heard that when you've been in your deepest trouble and somebody's just thrown that out at you and you want to go, yeah, right. All things are working together for my good. How many times I've questioned this, Lord, how could this work together for my good? When somebody's diagnosed with cancer, when someone's dying, when someone's in a financial bind, or when you're going through all these traumas, how can this work together for my good? Let me tell you the truth about that scripture. I don't know how they all work together for good, but one day, when we see Jesus face to face, we'll know that all these things are really nothing compared to the glory of seeing him. Because it's more than things working out together for my good, but it's God's purpose being worked out for all eternity. Because God has a higher plan, and we may not see the whole picture as we look at it now. But one day we're going to see, oh, now I can see the purpose. Because sometimes the things that are being worked out in my life are for somebody else to look at and be encouraged. Encouraged to persevere and keep going in the midst of all the trauma. And then we know the scripture from Matthew 19:26 that Grace quoted, with God, all things are possible. And of course, keeping that scripture in its context, it's speaking of the rich man and the poor man and how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And it says only as it were, it's so difficult that it's like taking a camel and going through the eye of a needle. And when I think of that picture, I mean, that just gives you a picture, a visual, doesn't it, in your eye and in your mind. And so I can see a camel just, you know, squeezing down to get through the eye of a needle. It would have to be a pretty big needle in my eye. But God says with him, all things are possible. What are your all things that are seeming impossible today? God says with him, all things are possible. And I think he said that almost the same thing when he spoke to Mary, when the angel came and told her that she was going to bear a child. And she says, but I've never been with a man. And he was saying, you know, with man can't do this, but with God, all things are possible. Doesn't that give you encouragement, this God that we serve? Everything is possible with him. And when we begin to examine these scriptures, we see that they instruct us and they correct us and they comfort us and they encourage us. They offer hope to us in our hopelessness. Anybody feeling without hope today? Don't raise your hand. There are times in everyone's life that we feel absolutely hopeless when things seem dark and dreary and desperate. But these scriptures also give us strength in our weakness. Is anybody feeling weak in this room? And then they give us warnings to be watchful. We should be watchful all the time, not only for the enemy, but the world and the culture that wants to creep into our life. These scriptures display to us God's glory and God's redemption, his work of sanctification in our lives. Now, that word sanctification is a big word. All that means is that God's working in us to grow us up and to mature us. And so these things that we're going through, some of these dark times and these feelings of hopelessness and trauma and trials and difficulties are simply God's method of using all these things to help us mature and to grow, because we grow stronger through the trials that come along in our life. Now, all things appear to be spiraling out of control in our personal lives many times, and in our nation certainly, and in our world around us. When I read the news, when I turn on the Fox News channel, when I have my Facebook page on and see all of these things, I start feeling like it's hopeless. You know, where are we going in our nation? And we prayed last night for our nation, and if we do nothing else, we need to be praying diligently for God's work to be done in our world. And never have we been filled with a world so filled with fear, with fightings and divisions and with faithlessness. Even those who call themselves believers are starting to fall by the wayside because all things are so difficult and all things seem hopeless. Our leaders have lost their way, and even our greatest minds seem to be making all things up as they go. And no one is able to find answers to all things. Look around you at the news just even this week, how desperate we are. It's comforting for us, however, to know the all things of God's word, and they stand sure and they stand steadfast. They bring us stability. They bring us safety and security in the spiraling condition that we find ourselves in. When we look at all those scriptures that you see on your program and up here in the front, we see that we can have safety. We know where the shelter is. We know where the refuge is. We know where the rock of our salvation is. And we can run to him. Just the name of Jesus is a strong shelter to those who run. And the whole world is out of control, and they don't know that all they have to do is call on the name of Jesus and they'll have a safe place. It's comforting for us. These two little words shine brighter as the world grows darker. And we shouldn't be surprised that the world is getting dark. The scriptures tell us that we're in the end times, and things are going to get more and more and more dark and difficult as we look at the world coming to a close. But these scriptures, these words encourage us because they give us direction and purpose when many are lost and floundering. They encourage us because we know that we don't have to be surprised or dismayed by the unfolding events. They encourage us because God's word gives us the answers, and that we can know there's ultimate victory ahead. Billy Graham often quotes this, and I see it on my Facebook page all the time. He says, "I don't have to worry because God said that if I read the book," he said, "I've read all the way to the end of the Bible, and I know how the story ends. And I know that we have victory, and we have victory in Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for that day. I'm longing for that day. I'm praying for that day. Lord, come quickly. We need you." But ladies, let me tell you, it could get worse before it gets better. But we know how the story ends. When we look at these verses in their entirety, they will have a profound effect. They will challenge us. And they will draw us deeper into the cleft of the rock. I love that word of being drawn into the cleft of the rock. That's a solid place. It's an immovable place. It's a place that cannot be wiped out. We run into the cleft of the rock. And who is the rock? Jesus is our rock, isn't he? He's the only stable thing that we have in this world. You know, through all the crisis that we've had this week in our home, you know, my house was flooded. We lost two family members within 24 hours. The only place I have to go to is to run into the rock. And when we string all these phrases together, all these verses together, they become like a beautiful strand of pearls. They tell us God's story from beginning to end. And not only do they tell us God's story, but they tell our story, your story, and my story. And each pearl in this strand puts together a mini Bible. They tell us of God's creation, the need for man's redemption, for Christ's sacrifice for our salvation, the ongoing work of sanctification, the promise of Christ's coming, and the hope of eternal life. I was so comforted this week when I heard that a niece and a nephew have died within 24 hours of a massive heart attack, both of them. And I was comforted to know that I'm going to see them one day again in heaven, because both of them know and knew the Lord. How comforting that is. And those who don't know Jesus don't have that comfort. They don't have that hope. They don't have that assurance. But if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you can have that hope. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I need you in my life. These verses and this phrase tell us that God has made all things new. Aren't you thankful for that? The old me is gone. Everything is new. And now I wish he'd just give me a new body, but he's going to do that. Do that when I get to glory, right? And even then, it won't really matter whether I have a new body or not, because I'm going to have my focus on Jesus Christ, and he's all that's important. All the questions that I had and all the problems that I had are going to be nothing. I'm not going to even remember them, probably. All the things that I have listed in my Bible that I want to answer Jesus, ask him when I get there, it's not going to matter then, because all things are going to be revealed to me. His word tells us that the Holy Spirit was sent to bring all things to our remembrance. And I hope he does that for me today. You know that scripture that you learned in Sunday school 40 years ago? When you need it, it'll come flooding back to your mind, because the Holy Spirit's there speaking to you. And he promises that he's going to bring all things to our remembrance when we need them. You know, when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, I got up the next morning and all the verses that I had learned as a child so I could win a prize came flooding back into my mind. And not only did I remember those things, but then they began to have meaning and I began to understand them and I began to apply them to my life. So the Holy Spirit brings all things to our remembrance. That person that you're trying to witness to, that person that you're trying to encourage, and all of a sudden, a verse will pop into your mind, because he's bringing all things to your remembrance. Where do you think that comes from? It comes from the Holy Spirit who's speaking to us. His word tells us that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. How I wish I could communicate that to the body of Christ today. Sometimes we just think all things are lawful, but we don't take it to the end where it says, but not all things are expedient. And they tell us that Christ is sufficient for all things, and he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. So now there's no excuse for sin. Our response to all these things is to endure all things, to believe all things, to hope all things, and to give thanks for all things. Endure all things. Endurance means long term, doesn't it? You know, I could stand a trial if I know it's only going to last for 2 or 3 days. But you see, sometimes our trials are all the way through the rest of our lives. And I am to persevere and endure all things. I'm to believe all things. You know, I'm a suspicious person. I have a critical mind. And it's not discernment at all. It's just being suspicious and critical. And I believe all things about all people all the time. But some of the all things that I believe and I'm suspicious of aren't true. But we're to believe all things about him. And as he speaks to us, then we can believe all good things about one another. We're to hope all things. Sometimes my hope gives out when I'm praying for someone. You know, I prayed for 3 months, Lord. Isn't that long enough? But I begin to give up hope. But, you know, George Mueller was called a man of faith, a man of prayer. And he's the one who started all those orphanages in England. And he never told anybody a need that he would have. And a milk truck would break down in front of the orphanage, and they'd bring milk into the orphans so it wouldn't spoil, and they bring food and clothing and all these things that George Mueller needed to take care of these thousands of orphans was provided simply through prayer. And he was able to hope all things. He had three friends who were non-believers, and George Mueller prayed for their salvation for 50 years. Right before he died, two of those people came to know the Lord as their Savior, and the third one came right after he died. But how often I give up, and how often I feel that things are hopeless. He'll never come to the Lord. Look at his life. It's so awful. How could God ever get through to him or her? And then the scriptures tell us to give thanks for all things. Give thanks for all things? That's a hard one, isn't it? We're not living in ordinary times. This is not regular life. An ordinary worship, an ordinary love and work and service is not enough. But Luke 12:31 promises that if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what? All these things will be what? Added unto us. All these things will be added unto us. The amazing thing that I find, if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, all the things that we thought we were seeking after really don't begin to have much meaning to us anyway. Then we begin to seek the things that God wants us to seek after, and he gives us the desire of our heart, because now the desire of our heart is lined up with his desires. Isn't that amazing how he changes all of that? The things that I thought were so important are really not important in comparison to seeking after the kingdom of God. As women of God, we need to step up the call to live and show the world who Jesus is, to be sober in these days, to be watchful, to be prayerful, to be powerful, to be committed, to be consecrated, to seek him above all things and because of all things, and to do all things without murmuring. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I'm doing all things, but boy, am I murmuring on the inside. I can act really loving and kind and patient on the outside, but inside I'm churning and I'm stressful and I'm just like Martha in the kitchen, banging her pots and pans down on the sink and saying, oi, 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 if she would just get in here and help. Do all things without murmuring. And in 1 Peter, it tells us the end of all things is at hand. And Revelation 21:7 tells us, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Isn't that exciting? We'll inherit all things. He's laid up treasures in heaven for us. All you have to do is read the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, and you'll know what your inheritance is. It's in a place where it will never rust, it will never decay, it will never grow old. There will be no moths that will eat it up, no mold that will come in. Our inheritance is laid up there for our enjoyment. Ephesians 1:10 says that on that day the Father will gather together in one all things in Christ. We may be feeling overwhelmed by all things, but Paul reminds us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's been my verse this week. Now I want you to let all these things sink into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit, and be all things to you.